And it's good to see everybody out.
Hope that everybody's doing well again. I hope that everybody's encouraged as we've sung some hymns and went to God in prayer and just simply being here with one another. This evening, I'd like to go ahead and turn back to the book of James as we continue kind of studying through it and going forward through it. We've studied James 1 and started there in verse 2 and worked our way down a little bit, and I believe we picked up verse 9 through 15 last week, or 2 weeks ago, I believe. And then I'm going to jump over 17 and 18 because I believe I covered that Sunday morning last week as we talked about giving thanks. As verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. And I feel like I'd be getting into a lot of talking about the same stuff we talked last Sunday on how thankful we are, how blessed we are at every good thing. Even verse 18 goes along into that point, the points I made last week of his own will. He brought us forth by the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, one that he's blessed us with life, but also bringing forth us in the spiritual life, allowing us to come to him. About the only thing I'd say that we might have left out if we don't go through that is looking at the second part of verse 17, where it says, with whom there is no variation or shadow of change. Talking about God who does not change. And that's certainly a blessing also as we look to the point that we don't have to worry about the Bible updating. Sure, there is a bunch of updates and translations. And even, I believe it was last year or the year before, the New American Standard just came out with a new update to their translation. A 2020 version, I believe, is what it was. And so, but the Bible in itself does not update because God has given us all things that we need. So tonight, I'm going to pick up in verse 19 and work down through verse 26. And I'm going to leave verse 27 to start into chapter 2. And so tonight, we'll be looking at verses 19 through 26. If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and start off by reading those. James 1, starting in verse 19, says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer of the acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. So I'd like to take time to look at these verses, break it down to a few points this evening. The first thing I want to bring out as we enter into it is slow to anger. And just as we started off in James 1, there in verse 19, know this, my beloved brother, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Slow to anger. And it's something we need to truly keep in mind because in verse 20 says, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. This is a reason why we should be slow to becoming angry, that we should not be quick-tempered and one who is easily stirred up, because anger does not produce the righteousness of God. And so we have Psalm 86, and looking at verse 15 to go along with this verse here. Psalm 86, and looking at verse 15. As it reads here, and it brings out, it says, but you, O Lord, are God, merciful, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Here, just talk about our God and himself. How he is slow to anger. And I believe if we take time to truly think about our God and see, he has to be slow to anger. Because if he was one who was quickly stirred up, one who was quickly stirred to anger, none of us would be here today. He would have struck us all down when we had first sinned, or when we sinned the second time, or the third time that we have sinned in our lives upon this earth.
You know, as I often go back and I study the account of David and them carrying the ark back, and they were carrying it the wrong way, they were not, you know, doing it the proper way, and then it starts to stumble, and then as it reaches up, touches the ark, my mind is always like, why did God get angered with him? Instead of, you know, the priest who should have been telling them how they should have been carrying it, or the wise men, or David himself, who's the leader of them all, and they should know how they should be carrying it. But then that kind of goes to a God who is slow to anger, right? God, it kind of built up. It is one thing that he's kind of probably upset about. He notices it. He realizes that they're not carrying it right. They had built this new car, that they're carrying it wrong. And then eventually they added to it. And eventually he punishes them. He disciplines them, as we talked about this morning. And so God is slow to anger. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 29. Here it reads and says, "Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly." Again, one who is slow to anger has great understanding. Has to understand, because one who is slow to anger means that they take time to consider the situation rather than someone comes and gives them immediate news and they're quick to make a decision about something. Now, there's certain times in which we have to act immediately and we have to get caught up and make sure we do something fast. But most of the time we have to take a step back, as we're going to talk about here in a bit, slow to hear also. That we take time to or quick to hear and slow to speak. One who's willing to take time and listen to the whole situation. When it involves multiple people, to get everybody's mindset of what is going on and what truly took place. In Psalm 37 and verse 8. Psalm 37 and in verse 8. As it reads here, it says, "Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil." Again, as we go back to verse 20 of James 1, how it brings out anger does not produce the righteousness of God. Here in verse 8, it's kind of going, you're going to be on that line that leads to evil. We need to be careful with our anger. Now we need to understand, as we turn to Ephesians 4 and verse 26, it says, "Be angry and do not sin." So anger in itself is not a sin. Let's make sure we make that statement. Make sure we understand that anger in itself is not a sin. But it's a matter of what we do in that anger. If we're one who's quick to anger, one who's quick to act out, one who is always angry, always dwelling on things, one who allows the sun to go down on his anger rather than finding a way to resolve the issue, or finding a way to forgive somebody, or seeking to resolve whatever problems you have caused with someone else. So we have to be slow to anger, because we want to make sure we are continuing in the righteousness of God. And so, as we're talking about being slow to anger, we also need to be slow to speak. Not one who is quick to say something, quick to say something back, or always the one that gets the last comment, right? Slow to speak. And again, this is found there in James chapter 1 and verse 19. But also, as you go back down, as you're reading through James, and you get down to verse 26 there. James 1 verse 26. And as you look at that last verse that we have read this evening, it says, "If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless." And if we continue to go through the book of James, as I'm planning on trying to do, we'll get to James chapter 3, and we have basically a whole chapter in which we're going to talk about the tongue, so I'm going to leave that chapter alone for now. But here it brings out the point that if one cannot bridle his tongue, one cannot tame it and keep it in control, one who is quick to say stuff, quick to teach wrong error, quick to spit something out without knowing the truth. Sometimes we can do that when we're trying to teach somebody. Someone asks us a question, and we feel like we got to give an answer. And so you just say something, but you're not real sure if that's the right answer. It's okay to say, I'm not 100% sure. Let me search the scriptures so that I tell you the right thing. And then I will get back with you and I will find that verse and I will show you where it says what I believe it says. And we can confirm the truth. Let us be sure of the Word of God. Let us be slow to speak so that we can make sure the truth is being taught. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 29. Ephesians 4 and in verse 29. Here it says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Let no corrupt thing, nothing that's going to cause bad stuff, to come out of your mouth. But only that which is going to stir up love, you're going to stir up good works, that is going to build up and encourage one another. And again, admonishing one another, rebuking one another, that's part of making sure someone goes down the right path. So it's not saying that we can't ever go forth and say something that's going to hurt somebody's feelings. Because that's going to happen when you go forth and rebuke and you practice discipline. But it's with the right purpose in the heart. And that we're saying it in the right way so that we can try to work from one point of rebuking somebody to the next point of encouraging somebody. This is exactly what we have studied again in the young adult class, that we went from one lesson of admonishing to the very next lesson is encouraging. That we go forth and make sure that we know how to speak to one another. And so 1 Peter 3 and in verse 10. 1 Peter 3 and in verse 10. Here it reads and says, for whatever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Whoever desires to love life and see good days, says this is what you need to do. If this is what you desire, to make sure we watch what comes out of your mouth. Be slow to speak. Make sure that we are speaking the truth. Make sure we know the situation. And make sure whatever comes out of our mouth is not against our God. And so as we're slow to speak, that means we are quick to hear. We are quick to hear, that we are willing to take the time and listen. Take the time and listen. Again, James 1 and verse 19, quick to hear. Proverbs 1 and verse 21. Proverbs 1 and in verse 21. Here it reads, wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the market she raises her voice. That's verse 20. Verse 21, it says, at the heat of the noisy street, she cries out, and entrance in the city, a gate, she speaks. I believe this is the verse I am wanting to use. I will jump back over to verse 8, as we used it this morning. In verse 8, it says, hear, O my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are graceful garland for your head, and pendants of the neck. Again, as you would take the time to study through the book of Proverbs, how often it is, listen to my words, chapter 2 and verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Again, so it's listen, listen, listen. When they went up into the mountain, and you have Jesus there with Moses, and Jesus there with Elijah, and the three that's there with, Lord, it's good that we're here with you. Let us make a temple for you, and we'll make one for all of you. And God speaks up and he says, no, listen to Jesus. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Hear him. Meaning we take the time to listen to the words of God. Listen to the truth. Again, in James chapter 1, as we have read through that, verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word. It starts off that we are to be hearers, that we are ones who listen to the word of God. In verse 25 it says, but the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty
And so make sure we understand when we say hear, that means you're opening up the Bible and you're listening to God. So you're reading, you're studying the words, the scriptures, the Bible. So we say hear, that can include read, study, quick to listen to God, quick to listen to the commands that He has given to us. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God as we listen to Romans 10 and verse 17. That's why we have 1 John 4:1 there telling us to test all spirits. And so by testing, we are listening to others as they come in and they start to preach and they start to teach. And so we start to ask questions, or we open up our Bibles and search it to see whether or not these things are so, as we see in Acts 17 and verse 11. That they were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, that they searched the Scriptures. But they did it with great eagerness. They wanted to search the Scriptures. They wanted to know the truth. They wanted to make sure it was the truth. And so they were eager to listen. They were eager to study. Do we have that zeal? Do we have that desire to open up the Bible and search the Scriptures? To know right from wrong, to make sure the truth is being taught. Quick to hear. One who hears something and you're like, I have heard that before. And so you go home and you search. You study. You find out whether or not that is so. Again, it's so encouraging. Things that encourage me as we have class and we come together and brethren here, and sometimes it's on things that just kind of, I'm like, well, I didn't think to search that, but others come in and they go, well, this is what caught my interest, and not did I just catch my interest and go, and push it aside, or just waited till they got here to ask the question, but you guys get together, you open up your computers and you get on your phone and you search it. And you get out the commentaries, and how many times I hear the brethren here that have searched the commentaries, and this is what I found. It's encouraging to know that you're out there studying and searching to find the truth. To find the answers that we're supposed to have. Proverbs 18 and verse 13. Proverbs 18 and verse 13. Reads here and says, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame. Again, so that's slow to speak, quick to hear. Well, how many times, especially with kids, you're trying to speak to them and they're giving you an answer before you even get. I'm not asking you a question. I'm just telling you what needs to be done. And they're trying to give an explanation of what happened. I'm like, I don't care what happened right now. This is what has to be done now. So quick to give an answer without listening. Or we're so quick to start a defense when no one even knew you needed to be on defense. Make sure we know the situation before we speak. Make sure we have time to listen and hear one another. Final thing we'll talk about in these verses that I want to bring out is to be a doer of the word. Not a hearer only, but a doer of the word. And so we have James chapter 1 and verse 21. And all these come from James, the points that I'm going to be bringing out, because there's just so much right here in James chapter 1 that speak about acting and doing. And again, stuff that we're going to be getting into in James chapter 2 about faith without works is dead. And so James 1 and verse 21, it says, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. And so within hearing the word of God and receiving the truth, that means we act upon it and we put away sin. That we don't just listen to the word of God. We took time to listen to the lesson, and we took time to hear what it was taught in Bible class, and then we go home and we continue a life in sin. No, if we're doers of the word, then we're going to put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and continue in the path that God has given us. And in verse 22 says, but be doers of the words and not hearers only. In verse 23 and 24 says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks initially at his natural face in the mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. We look into the Bible and we study it. And we read here and we talk about Jesus and how he's so loving and how he's so kind and how he's so merciful. And we say how great it would be to know somebody like that. And then we just walk away from the Bible and don't even think twice about what kind of person I am. Am I that loving and kind and merciful and giving? We read through verses like verse 21 saying, put away all filthiness. Verses like 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9, and 10 that go forth and talk about those who shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven, and go forth and list the adulterers and homosexuals and thieves and murderers and liars. And we go forth and talk about envy and coveting. But then we forget about it and just ignore whatever is in our hearts, whatever actions we're caught up in. That would be like looking in the mirror, knowing that there's some stuff that needs to be washed off our face, knowing that I need to fix my hair or that I need to brush my teeth, and you walk away. You say, oh, I'll get that here in a minute. Got to go take care of the kids. But then you forget. And you go out that way. We're supposed to study the scriptures and see what it is we need to be applying to our lives. See what it is we need to rid ourselves of. In verse 25, but one who looks into the perfect law of liberty, the liberty and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. We'll be blessed if we take the scriptures and we study it and we act upon what we learn from. We see that we are supposed to be kind to one another. We see that we're supposed to be hospitable to one another. We see that we should be praying for each other, that we should be stirring up love and good works. And so therefore, that's what we go and do. Not one who just sits here and says, that is a good lesson. That was something I needed to hear. Or I put the lesson together myself. I say, this is something I need to work on. And then I preach it, and then I just move on to the next lesson. But rather, I take it and I apply it to my life. And say, these are areas that I need to act on. I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this evening. If you are here and you've heard the truth and you believe and you've taken time to consider the cost and you understand the cost of not speaking up, of not confessing your faith, and you know that the consequence, the cost is too much, and you're willing to pay the cost to be a follower of God, then we encourage you to come forward, to make that confession, to repent of your sins, to be baptized and wash your sins away. If you're here this evening and you have obeyed the gospel and have not been hard at work as God needs his laborers, then you need the prayers of the congregation to help you continue to walk down that narrow and difficult path, please let us know what we can do to assist you. Let us know as we stand.